We're doing Kovetz Ma'amrim by Rav Chanan Wasserman. We're on page Yud Tet, Ma'amar al Bitachon, an essay Rav Wasserman wrote about the word Bitachon. So we've been studying Emunah and Bitachon in the Chazon Ish. Now we'll see what Rav Chanan Wasserman says. Katav Rambam Mishmona Prakim Perek Shvi. Maimonides writes in the seventh chapter of Shmona Prakim. Shmona Prakim is the Rambam's essay introducing his commentary on Pirkei Avot. Before the Rambam discusses with us how to perfect our traits, the Rambam wrote eight chapters discussing the human psychology of perfecting one's traits, discussing the soul, discussing the mind, discussing how can one develop, how can we expect of a person to change. So he discusses the makeup of the human psyche and how one can develop, how we view all of this. So the Rambam writes over there in the seventh chapter, and by the way, those of you who are curious, we have a whole series online on Shmona Prakim. On 123torah.com, you can download the whole series. Ve'en mitnei anavi shiyu etzlo kol ha'malot v'amidot ad shelo yafchitu pechitut. Sh'arei Shlomo ha'melech alav Shlom ha'id alav ha'katuv. Be'givon ira Hashem el Shlomo, matzin lo pechitot midut. Ve'u rov ha'tava, ve'u barbot nashim v'chulu. You can't say that a precondition to prophecy is that a person should be perfect in their traits to the point where there's nothing wrong with them. A person has to perfect their traits, but you can't expect perfection in order for a person to get prophecy. For you see, Shlomo, it says that Hashem appeared to Shlomo, and the Rambam learns that that means Shlomo had prophetic vision. The Meiri, by the way, disagrees. The Meiri learns that Shlomo never had prophecy. These were visions of Ruach HaKodesh. And yet we find that Shlomo had this weakness. He had tremendous desire for women. That's what the Rambam writes. So on the one hand, you see he had prophecy. On the other hand, you see he wasn't perfect. We find that Shmuel, tremendous prophet, and yet he has fear. And when Hashem tells him to anoint David, he's scared that Shaul might kill him. So you see, he didn't have 100% control of every trait. Uviyakov shepachad mipgishat Esav. You see, Yaakov was scared of the meeting with Esav. So the commentary on the Rambam there, there's a commentary called Chesed Lavram. He writes the following. I'll get to you in a second. He says, what does the Rambam mean? The Talmud tells us in the first chapter of Tractate Brachos, it says in one place, Hashem promises Yaakov, I'm with you wherever you go. I'll watch you. And the Talmud says, then why does it say later that Yaakov was scared? The Talmud says, Yaakov knew he had Hashem's promise, but he also knew that maybe some of the mistakes he made in life caused that he wasn't entitled to that promise. Maybe Hashem said, I'll be with you. That was with the built-in understanding that he would live up to the mitzvot, and maybe he didn't live up to the mitzvot enough. So the Talmud addresses that question. The Talmud doesn't say that this is a weakness of Yaakov Avinu. The Rambam writes, you see, a prophet doesn't have to be perfect, because you see, Yaakov had the weakness, he was scared. So the Chesed Lavram, the commentary on the Rambam, asks, but the Talmud says that wasn't a weakness, that it was a legitimate fear. The Talmud in Tractate Psachim says, how could we assume that when you're doing a mitzvah, you'll be protected? Shlichei mitzvah inan nizokin. Right? We have this rule, if you're doing a mitzvah, you're afforded protection. The Talmud says, you see, Hashem told Shmuel, go anoint King David. And Shmuel was concerned that he might get harmed. He said, how am I going to go? Saul's going to hear, I anointed a new king, he'll kill me. What was Shmuel concerned about? Hashem just told him to do something. What's he worried about? So the Talmud answers, Hecha d'shchicha ezek ashani, that there's a difference. Just because you're doing a mitzvah doesn't mean you could go where there's obvious danger. And here there was obvious danger to go and anoint another king. So that's the question the Chesed Avram asks about the Rambam. Okay, yes?
No, I was just going to say that exact point you said that I read it somewhere. That like the reason why you don't want Hashem, like you're not going to expect like miracles from Hashem.
Okay. Benny.
You said on a parsha of Shavuah here at one point that Yaakov was too afraid that by sending the letters and all the things he aroused Esau's anger.
right? You're saying we have midrashim that support the Rambam. That's true. The Medrash does say that. You're 100% right. Machzik bosnei chelev. Tanchuma, the Medrash Rabbah, yes. V'nered kushiyat ha'gmara ina inyan kushiyat ha'rambam. So Rav Elchanan Wasserman doesn't offer your answer. You're offering a good answer. But he says, it would seem that the Talmud was not addressing the same point as the Rambam. The Bigmara Parich, what the Gemara's question was, the Gemara wasn't asking, how could Yaakov make such a mistake? Why shouldn't a prophet have the traits that he's not scared? The Gemara's question was, Me'achal shevtichu HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYaakov b'frat shiyishmerehu, being that Hashem specifically gave Yaakov a promise, I'm watching you, lama yaram Esav. That's the Gemara's question. What was he scared for? Hashem told him personally, I'm keeping an eye on you. V'chilo emin chas v'shalom midvar Hashem? Could we say, God forbid, he didn't believe Hashem? V'al zeh tirtzu. So that's what the Gemara is coming to answer. Shayayre shem agaram achet. Yaakov's concern was, maybe I didn't live up to my end of it. V'haynu shu haya savur shavtachat HaKadosh Baruch Hu hayta al tnai shelo yigrom achet. He assumed. Hashem promised him and said, I'm watching over you. He assumed that's with the understanding. You live up to your end of the deal. V'arambam mikshah kushi acheret. But the Rambam was asking something else. Tineinami shavtacha nitbatla al yedei achet. Maybe we'll go with what the Gemara said, that maybe he had sinned and that would cause the promise to go away. Mikol makom lo gram ilu lo evticho HaKadosh Baruch Hu klal. The Rambam's point was, even if Hashem had not promised him, haya lo liftoch b'chesed Hashem yitbarach mimidat habitachon, shouldn't he have confidence that Hashem's watching over him and Hashem wants good things to happen to him? What's he scared of? Meaning, it's one thing to deal with life. We can deal. But that aspect of being scared of life, that's where the question comes up. You're dealing with Esav. There's a clear and present danger. The question is, how do you deal with it? A person that has bitachon says, I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I'm not scared. I know Hashem's running the shows, and I know Hashem wants only what's good, so only good's going to come out of this. That doesn't mean that what comes out is pleasant, but it means that there's a hand that's guiding everything. I'm going to do my ishtadlut, I'm going to invest my effort and do the best I can, but I have nothing to be scared of. Why is Yaakov scared? That's what was bothering the Rambam. Yes? I hear. I hear.
So, same thing, you know, the body is, you know, scared to get harmed, and the soul, you know, doesn't care in the same way.
Right, but someone on Yaakov Avinu's level, the soul should overtake the body.
Same thing you can say about Sarah.
You see that Hashem held it against Sarah, right? You're right. You see, we do say it about Sarah.
Commentaries are maybe not so against her, because there's, I don't know, there was a big rabbi in our days, I don't remember his name, and somebody told him that he got some kind of disease, he was going to die, but he was pretty old, and he cried, and many people were like, why did this big rabbi cry, you know? And they also said the same thing about him, that, you know, it was his body, you know, he knew it, he had a good life in it, but, you know, it was like a natural thing to do for the body.
Here, okay.
Wait, but that's still does that still count as a character flaw? Is that the question?
Let's hear Rav Elchanan Wasserman.
If I poke you and poke a child and the child cries, it's not because the child is weak. The body does.
Okay.
I have another version that basically the reason why Yaakov was afraid was all because of this. He was afraid that Esau, because of the kibbut av, that he had some sort he did so much good out for his father that somehow Esau had gained so much strength and so much zchuyot that he was strong, and now he could actually get his will with it and get his maybe birthright back. I don't know.
Okay, yafeh. There's a midrash that way too. That Yaakov's concern was about Esav's chuyot. But the question is, does any of this support being scared? It's one thing to deal. And in life, we have to deal. A person sees an oncoming car, he better move. A person sees there's a danger, he has to deal with it. Of course, Yaakov had to deal. And even from a spiritual perspective, Yaakov says, maybe Esav gained merits, he has to deal with it. So he davens, he does mitzvot, he does what he can. But where's the room to be scared? That's the question here. So you want to say the fear was also on a spiritual level. Okay, I hear. That's a possible answer. I hear. V'zeleshon agra b'mishle. The Gra, in his commentary on Mishle, says the following. Yeshnei chelkei bitachon. There are two components to bitachon. Echad shakadosh baruch hu mavticho. One is bitachon, when Hashem gives a person a promise to hold on to it. Hashem promises Avram he'll have a son. Not so simple. He's getting old. Decades are passing and it's not being fulfilled. Chelik bet shakadosh baruch hu ino mavticho. Second component of bitachon is when there is no promise. Ela shadam be'atzmo sam bitachono b'Hashem. That's a component of bitachon when a person says, I trust Hashem. He didn't promise me. He didn't guarantee me what the outcome is going to be. And yet I still put my trust in him. וכן בשמואל יקשו בגמרא למה ירא והשלוחי מצווה אינן ניזוקין כמו שהבטיחה התורה לא יחמדיש תרצך בעלותך לרעות ותרצו איך הדשכיח הזיקה שני ובמקום דשכיח הזיקה עליך להבטחת התורה. So the Talmud tells us, why was Shmuel scared? Don't we have a promise if you're dealing with a mitzvah, nothing bad will happen? So the Gemara answers, where there's a clear and obvious danger, so then you don't have such a promise. The Torah didn't promise you that you could walk into a lion's den and say, I'm on my way to Minyan this morning. You're not allowed to touch me. It doesn't say that you can, that in a place where there's clear danger. But the Rambam's question was different. So Shmuel doesn't have the promise. There's no guarantee now. Because there's an obvious danger, so he can't assume there's a guarantee nothing bad will happen. But he should have had his own bitachon. Shouldn't he have had confidence that Hashem runs the world for better? Whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen. Hashem just told him, go anoint David. So what does Shmuel say? But I might die. What do you mean? What are you worried about? I understand you feel like there's no protection because there's an obvious danger here. But even without the protection, Hashem's running the world and he does it in kindness. Rav Chanan Wasserman says, if you don't approach it that way, then you never have bitachon. Then you could always say, I'm not worried because I don't have bitachon. I'm worried because who knows if I merited to have things work out my way. So then there's never an element of bitachon. What do we say? Have confidence. Hashem is running the world and He wants things to be good. Hashem is kind. So you don't have to be worried in life. You deal with life, you do the best you can in life, and you know that at the end of the day, there's a hand that's guiding things who's always interested in good. So I can have bitachon. But if my approach is supposed to be, well, maybe I don't merit it, and then I'm going to be worried all over again. So then you never have bitachon. ועל כן מידת ביטחון נותנת שאין לו לדאוג שמא גרם החטא. ומזה וירמם דיעקב ושמואל עשו שלא כהוגן נגד מידת הביטחון. So that's why Rav Chanan Wasserman says no. When the Gemara answers why they were worried, the Gemara is addressing specific questions. Why was Yaakov worried? Didn't he have a promise? Why was Shmuel worried? Don't we have a rule? Shluchei mitzvah inan nizokin. The Gemara was not addressing a core question of shouldn't a Jew live life without worry? You work, you strive, but you work with a confidence, with a bitachon, that Hashem is in charge and He will ensure that good things come out of it. And that the Gemara was not addressing. That's why the Rambam has a proof. That's why the Rambam comes along and says, you know what? Yaakov made a mistake. Shmuel made a mistake. Prophets are not perfect people. Prophets are people who have attained a greatness in their perfection of trait. But they're not perfect. What's the Rambam's proof? Because the Rambam says, you see, Shmuel was worried, Yaakov was worried, and they were wrong for worrying.
Did Moshe also have that character flaw?
Good question. Let's see. Let's see the next line. Yes.
Can I get, I'm sorry, could I ask a question, and then if it's not like you want to answer, maybe just answer afterwards, I forget it.
Okay.
If a person has a complete amunah, does he have to do a shalut, like complete, like I'm saying, not like a superficial level, like amunah, like 100%.
What is he shalut?
I'm sorry, I haven't seen him in, I don't know, months or years. Shalom Aleichem. Oh, Chava. Wow. I lost my focus. Yes.
If a person has like 100% not like a superficial, like really 100%, does he have to do a shalut?
We discussed last week that a person always has to do a shalut. Uh-huh. That there's a level that we read about, but that we're not on the level.
I'm not saying from my own, but I'm just curious.
Are there people who can have such emunah that they don't need to do ishtadlut? There probably are, but we don't see them. You see, Avraham Avinu had to do ishtadlut. Yaakov Avinu had to do ishtadlut. Yitzchak Avinu could sit at home, and his father does the ishtadlut, and his wife comes waltzing through the door. Okay, Yitzchak Avinu. But you see, Avraham Avinu had to do a lot of work, and Yaakov Avinu had to do a lot of work. Effort. So what we saw now in the first part of the essay, Rav Elchanan Wasserman said there are two types of bitachon. There's bitachon when a person has a promise. Hashem tells him it's going to be okay. So then he has confidence in what Hashem said and he could be happy. And then there's a totally different aspect of bitachon. That's when a person has to deal with life and he's going to invest the effort, he's going to do ishtadlut, but he doesn't have to be worried because he's in confidence that Hashem is running the show. At the end of the day, Hashem is running the show and he's going to ensure that whatever outcome happens is a good outcome. It might not be pleasant, but I have no reason to worry because there's a hand that's the kindest hand that's behind the whole show. So that gives a lot of strength. I can act, I can function, I can be tremendously productive, I don't have to worry. You know Rabbi Wein's line, worrying is like a rocking chair, keeps you busy but gets you nowhere. Yeah, very busy, you're not getting anywhere. Okay, yes, Daniel.
Suffered for and tortured for the bigger picture that you know nobody wants to be the pawn that don't want to be the pawn that's being sacrificed for winning the game. I mean,
right.
You know, it's difficult to be on that level, saying this is for the broader picture that you know, like Esther, how happy was her life.
Okay, so I want to restructure the question you're saying. We're saying that Hashem is running the world with a guidance to bring the world to a good place. And yet, sometimes what you call the pawn that's sacrificed for winning the game, sometimes you have figures in Jewish history that certainly paid a very large price in order to continue the world moving in the positive direction. So it can be Esther, your beautiful example of Esther, who spends the rest of her life stuck in a palace. She certainly didn't have the pleasant life that we would expect because the Jewish people were saved, but she certainly made a huge sacrifice for that. I think there are two answers to that, and I think we should just discuss one of them at this stage. I think that much of life depends on our attitude to life. I question, did Esther live her life in the palace of Ahasuerus, being severely depressed, saying, look at all I lost in order for the Jewish people to survive. I lost my husband, I'm married to a non-Jew, my Jewish children from Ahasuerus, barely have a Jewish identity. Was that Esther, post Megillas Esther? Meaning, let's go 2 years after Megillas Esther, right? What's Esther like? Is she the most depressed person you've ever seen? Or does Esther connect to these concepts? And then even though Esther's life is not easy, and Esther has paid a tremendous price, Esther sees tremendous value in it all. Esther feels like her life has been worthwhile. Her accomplishments have been worthwhile. This attitude also gives a person strength to deal with the hardships of life in a person's perspective on accomplishments. Yeah?